been in a tomb for 4 days. Mary and Martha, the brother or the sisters of Lazarus, are freaking out, and they're running after Jesus to come and heal him. And this is the context in which Jesus says these words in. And he says this in John 11, verse 25 and 26. It says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And so this is the statement in which Jesus says, and I want us to notice something about it. He says it in the present tense. He says it in a sense of reality. Jesus doesn't say, I offer resurrection and life. He does not say, I provide resurrection and life. He's going to say, I am the resurrection and the life. And it takes some time for us to grasp this reality, but Jesus Christ is saying to Martha that nothing is offered outside of himself. All things they long for, all things they hope for is embodied in Jesus himself. And so that's why the scriptures speak many times that we are to abide in Christ and Christ is to abide in us. And even a few chapters later, Jesus says to his disciples, because I live, you also will live. That means our very lives, the very reason for our existence, is tied in and interconnected and united with Jesus. And so what does this have to do with what we're talking about this morning? This morning we're talking about the mission of the church here in Atwistle Community. We're talking about what we're trying to accomplish under the power and presence of God, what we believe he has called us to. And so what does the resurrection have to do with all this? Why am I beginning to talk about the resurrection as we're going to hear ministry highlights for the rest of the service? I believe it's because what Paul says brings forward to us in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, what does Paul say? He says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And we just preached through 1 Corinthians, so what does Paul say right after that? He says, I deliver to you as what is of first importance. What is of first importance? When Paul thinks about life, when Paul thinks about what we're called to, when Paul thinks about the very existence and meaning of our existence of humanity, whatever makes up our everyday life, Paul says the most important thing in your life, the most important things to me, the most important things for the church is the story of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of the church. That is the foundation on which we stand. That is the very motivation of why we exist as a church. And so if we call ourselves believers, or if we're followers of Jesus, Paul is arguing to us that the very core of our existence, the very motivation for our life is based on the resurrection itself. So what does that mean for us as a church? I'm going to jump straight to application now because I don't have much time. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life. What does that mean for us as a church? What does that mean for what we're called to? Again, Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. Paul says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. There's implications to the resurrection. And one of the things that Jesus brings out to the story of Lazarus is that the reality of the resurrection and sharing in the resurrection is a present reality. That means we have new life in Christ now. The resurrection calls us to share in Christ's life. And the resurrection ultimately calls us to mission. Let me explain this. The resurrection stories aren't just about going to heaven when you die. When Jesus dies on the cross, he's raised to new life. There's almost nothing about going to heaven when you die in the New Testament. The point in which all the Gospels writers make when Jesus proves that he is the resurrection is that God's new world has begun. Not God's kingdom has been implemented. Jesus is risen. Therefore, Israel and the whole world have been redeemed. Jesus is risen. Therefore, the mission of God's redemption and reconciliation is moving on. How does that influence as a church today? That means we as the church are caught up in the mission of God. We as the church are living out what God has been accomplishing. God has now called us to join him in the mission of redemption and reconciliation of all of creation. Therefore, the resurrection is the foundation for a renewed way of life and for the world. And this is what the Lord's Prayer is all about, isn't it? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Jesus didn't die and have resurrection so that we can have just a sense of escapism where we go somewhere else. No, his resurrection calls us to join him in his mission as the church, to be ministers of redemption and reconciliation. And even as we talk about 1 Corinthians, when Paul wrote the great resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians, when he ends that chapter, he doesn't conclude by saying, okay, let's celebrate the fact that we all get to go to heaven. He ends it by saying, your labor is not in vain. He says, you have work to do. You're a call to mission. And guess what? Everything you're doing is not in vain. It has value in the eternal kingdom of Jesus. He says, so get on with your work. You know that everything you're doing in the Lord is not going to go to waste. It's not going to be meaningless. It's not going to be in vanity. He says, everything we're accomplishing for the kingdom of God is going to be valued. It's going to be included. It's going to be transformed into God, for God's glory. And so when Jesus says he's the resurrection and the life, that has drastic implications for how we function as a church and for how we function and exist as individuals. Because he's radically changed our lives and our motive and our meaning and our purpose and our mission. So when we talk about all the ministries going on this morning, and we talk about all the opportunities to serve God, when we talk about the mission we are called to as a church, everything, all of it, is founded upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is our motive. That is our mission. That is what we're called to. And so that means that every act of love that we do, every deed that we do, every work of creativity, every beauty that we bring in the world, every time justice is done, every time peace is made, every time families are healed, every time sin is overcome, every time someone walks in freedom, those things are of eternal value in the kingdom of God. And so I want to remind us this morning that as we talk about these things, everything we're doing is based upon the reality that the resurrection and the life of Jesus has called us to a life of mission. It's called us to a life that accomplishes things for the glory of God. It calls us to a life that joins God in his mission in redemption and reconciliation of all of creation. And in light of that, I want us to remind us of our mission statement we have as a church. And we began this, it was about, I think, a year and a half or 2 years ago that we as a board leadership really wrestled through the question. We just started by asking the question, why do we exist as a church? And we sat around a table, and I think there was 20 different answers when we started, if I remember. We said, well, why do we exist? What are we trying to accomplish? And we said, the very first reason we exist is because of the gospel. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we exist. That is our motive. That is our mission. That is our purpose. Everything comes out of that fact. And so because of the gospel, we as a church, we exist to make disciples. Disciples who love Jesus, who love his people, to live and make him known. Everything we're doing, everything we exist for is all to the glory of God. And so this has really permeated for us as a church for a reason for existence. And so I want us to read this together. Please read with me. Because of the gospel, Entwistle Community Church exists to make disciples who love Jesus, love his people, and live to make him known, all to the glory of God. And that's a reality, that's a mission that only comes because of the resurrection of Jesus. Because of the reality that Jesus in time and history lived, died, was buried, and yet raised to newness of life, claiming victory, claiming mission for his church. And so in light of that, let's pray. Gracious Father, we come before you. And Lord, we devote this morning to you, knowing that we as a church exist only from the simple fact, the simple reality that you are a God who came out of love and mercy to die for us, but also to raise to newness of life for us. And Lord, in doing so, you have transformed this world. You have established your kingdom, and you have called us as the church to your ministry, your mission of redemption and reconciliation of all of creation. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning you be working in our hearts and our minds and calling us back to the things that are of first importance, calling us back to what you have called us to as your people. And Lord, I pray that we would live in humility and obedience and submission to that calling, Lord. And so I pray for everyone in this room, Lord, reveal to them your desires, reveal to them your will in their lives. May it conform to the reality of the resurrection. May it conform to the mission you have called us to. We do this under the power of your Spirit. And so go before us, prepare us for what you have called us to, we pray. Amen.